Hello and welcome to NYPD Blue Balls. Word of warning before this episode begins. We recorded it very differently than we usually record episodes of NYPD Blue Balls. One, we're in the same room for the first time in a long time. Two, it's recorded commentary style, where we are watching the episode while we're recording. And three, we have different audio issues. We were holding the microphones with our hands, and we were talking to each other, and we were occasionally forgetting that we had the microphones in our hands. We talk about it a little bit during the show. It's also important to know that we talk about a whole bunch of stuff that's not NYPD Blue related at all. There are moments with spoilers. Kyle literally says spoilers before he says them, so you could skip 30 minutes ahead. And if you're worried about not syncing up with the episode if you wanted to watch along, don't worry. Kyle skips a random minute and 30 seconds or so in the middle of the episode that we talk about. It's very weird. It's all over the place. I hope there's something in it that you dig anyway. Anyway, here we go. Season 6, Episode 14, Raphael's Inferno, commentary style. All right, so... NYPD Blue Balls, Season 6, Episode 14, Raphael's Inferno. It's technically a commentary because we turned it on, but it's muted.
Yeah.
So if you're watching along with us right now...
Yeah, but I'm down to break it up into two stories.
What do you
basically
mean?
Basically, it's how you normally do it.
What do you mean, normally how you do it? What are you talking about? Oh, you're talking about do one and then do the other? Even though we're watching
it? Yeah, who cares? Just have it on in the background. If something pops up that we think is funny, we could talk about it, but...
The beginning of the episode opens with...
Are you just... How about this? Conductor,
well,
you
no.
take this train down the
do
track.
Do we have to start it over now?
No, you just take this train down the tracks,
no,
and I'll join.
I just wanted to say the beginning was Danny freaking out because his sister's visiting.
Yeah.
And clearly he's a little bit OCD about making sure that she'll get picked up. He's so fucking concerned about how this guy gets to the ferry. He can't stop talking about how he's going to get there.
Yeah, there's also, later on in the episode, I think, spoiler, they end the episode with him making some kind of comment about, like, what street to take to get to the ferry if the driver knows English.
Yeah, that's right.
It's like, it's a very, very, like, weird bookend thing.
Mike Shannon is picking her up. He's a uniform officer. They get a DOA child in a basement. That's what's happening after that. Sipwitz dresses down a foot cop who didn't keep the principal separate, as they say.
But he did it in a very non-Sipwitz way, though. He wasn't like, he didn't scream at the guy. You've seen other things where he's like screamed at the guy for just walking over a blood splatter on the floor. He screamed at people. So,
and we watched a couple episodes to prepare for these recordings. He's had some real choice words to say about people in the next couple episodes.
Yeah.
And in this one, he's just like, "Hey, guy."
Yeah.
You usually want to keep them separate.
Yeah. He tries to be nice.
The DOA is a girl covered in plaster. They assume she has been sexually violated. Welcome to the podcast. But she has been shot in the basement.
That seems to be the theme for a lot of this. It's either murder or sexual assault.
Well, this episode, the other case is fraud, bank fraud.
Yeah. Well, it's also a commentary on... I don't know what word to use.
Transgender folks?
Is that what the community accepts?
Oh, I don't know. I'm a cis white male, heteronormative. I don't know anything.
I know.
That sounded a little complainish, but I don't know.
I also feel like by me not knowing, I'm just like perpetuating like just cis white male patriarchy too, because I haven't learned anything.
Well, I've recently had a conversation with a gentleman who's right of center. A good way to describe him. And we had a conversation about transgender folks for a second, and I said, "Hey, I don't get it. I'm leaving room because I don't understand." And I think that's a route to take for a little while if you don't know what's going on. I don't understand. I don't have any problems with anything anybody's doing, as long as no one's getting hurt. But, yeah, there is a character in this episode that is a
transgendered female?
Male to female.
So they're transgender female.
Yes.
Because they were born male.
And they're going. They identify as a female. At least I assume so. Alexis. Yeah, this is.
Danny catches
Mike
Shannon doing a photo shoot with his sister in the jail holding cells, and Danny acts like a little bitch.
He's upset by it. He's clearly upset.
Which I don't know why, because he wasn't around to when his sister showed up. Like, that's the thing about Danny, is he's like kind of acting like a dick, but you keep having to run away from your sister. Like, she came to visit you. She came to visit you. But you keep bouncing away from her because of your job, and you keep telling her, like, oh, we'll hang out later. And Mike Shannon's got, like, time and, like, can show her a good time because you're not around, and you're just, he's getting all pissed off about it.
Well, we haven't gotten to the line yet, but one of the things I really enjoyed was he, because Mike Shannon did him a favor, picked up his fucking sister, middle of the day, on his own time.
Do you think he charged him? Probably not.
No. And he, like, wore a suit or whatever.
And had a sign?
And
like, she was somebody?
And Danny...
Like, she wasn't just a preschool teacher from Long Island or Staten Island or whatever?
I think they're from Buffalo. Well, they live in Buffalo. And there's a little... I don't know if it's in this episode. I don't think it is. Danny Sorensen has a Buffalo Bills cap on his desk. So he's a Bills fan.
Oh, okay.
Kind of weird. But
I know that his youngest... I don't know why I know this without... We're not even there yet, but I know that his youngest sister goes to Albany State, I think.
Yeah, he mentions it in this
or
episode.
Or college up in Albany, yeah.
But we're getting to the line I wanted to talk about, because he's like, man, you know what? I'm being a jerk. I'm sorry, Mike. Thanks for taking her. And he's like, oh, you want to make it up to me? Put in a good word. He's like, I'm not that sorry, Mike. You're not going to fuck my sister, okay, Mike? Hey, Mike, you ain't going to fuck my sister, dude.
Mike's not trying. I mean, like, okay, yeah, Mike's trying to fuck. But, like, maybe he just really wanted to take her to dinner.
Maybe he wanted to be, yeah.
Maybe Mike's a gentleman. We don't know.
Yeah, we don't know about Mike. Mike might be the suavest, nicest dude ever.
Spoiler alert. We find out Mike isn't the best, but
when?
He's all right.
When?
Like, in season 11 or 12. There's, like, something happens with Mark Paul Gosselaar's character, and he finds out a bunch of cops that are, like, seeing a prostitute or something, and his dad's involved, and so Shannon.
Really? I did not know that.
Yeah.
Well, the little girl, they talk to the mom's boyfriend.
You gotta take that part out, though.
Well, not now. Now it's, like, a part of a commentary. People can watch along. Doesn't matter. We'll move on. We're freewheeling. We're getting weird with it.
Moving on. So they're talking to the little girl's stepdad.
Well, boyfriend of the mother, because they're not married.
Very true.
And they find out after a little
squirming. Titles matter.
They find out after a little squirming that he went to jail for a sexual relations with a 14-year-old girl.
How old is he when he got arrested?
I don't know, but he says he served his time. He doesn't look that old.
No, he doesn't.
So, was it like he was 18, she was 14?
That's what I was trying to think of. And, like, I'm not saying that excuses it.
14 is fucking young. I don't care what anybody says. You'd be like, oh, she was 14? I don't give a shit. 14, you should be able to tell. And also, gross.
And, I mean, they have to go hard at the guy, too. Like, he has access and... You know, it's always someone close.
And, I mean, if he has a history of doing that to children...
So he only did 18 months for it. So he must have been close enough to her age where it wasn't, like, something that was considered... Well, we also don't really punish fucking perverts, so... I don't know.
Yeah, we do, well...
We don't really.
We don't if you have enough money. Right, Jeff? Mr. Epstein?
Well, I think he lost ultimately. He's no longer alive.
I don't think he's dead. I think that was a big cover-up.
That was a big he's dead, and then we're keeping him in a basement and beating the fuck out of him?
Or he's just back on that island and no one's gonna know.
Oh, no, dude. Oh, this is different because the way that they're talking and the amount of like rich, wealthy people's names that are out there, I think this is going to end very badly.
Cool.
Anyways, the super comes in and he's looking for his fucking keys and he's pissed.
No, he's looking for his tools.
Tools, keys. He's looking for his tools. And Sipowicz and Sorensen are giving him some shit because he's not caring about that the fucking murder investigation. He does have a really funny line where he tells Sipowicz. No, I'm talking about the super. The super has a funny line where he goes, "Well, are you the only two detectives?" He basically goes, "Are you the only two detectives working today?"
Well, I love the line where he mentions exactly what tools are missing. And then Sipowicz says, "Another mention about the tools. Every single one of them's going up your ass." And then John goes, "Don't throw him into the briar patch." And then this old fuck, what was his name? Because his name's hilarious. They're going to say it right now, but Sherman Rosenzweig.
Rosenzweig? I think W's are V's.
First off, let's use some language of the times. You gotta appreciate the drip on this guy. Coming in looking suave.
Jewish?
Yeah.
With that name?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm thinking like German Jewish though. Because like the Rosenzweig.
Well, there is a line towards the end of the episode where they're like, "Is there anything that Alexis could have done that would have been unforgivable?" And he says, "Is she a Nazi war criminal?" And they're all like, "No." And he's like, "Then I don't care." But yeah, this is where he's like, "Some dude is stealing my money using the naivete of this woman that I'm banging." And when I say this dude's old, I'm saying like...
But is he banging, though?
He's crusty.
He does have a cane. He does have a cane, like...
Like a motherfucking pimp.
Like Peppa Jack.
Peppa Jack.
But...
You speak when spoken to now. Sorry. Like I love Peppa Jack.
Let's go, bitch. Hurry this up. Answer the phone. Let's go. The phone thing. Come on.
This isn't Always Sunny. We're doing...
Sorry, yeah.
Yeah.
No, so... We find out some things about Alexis we've kind of already talked about.
A little bit. It's Alex.
And I understand that, like, the dude doesn't... Like, the dude is just infatuated with her. Him?
According to him, they had a romantic relationship that she was happy with.
So...
Ask your question.
Well, no, I'm just putting all the pieces together from the episode without jumping. I guess I'm jumping ahead until we get there, but like...
People, they should have watched it. That's my new attitude.
You find out that... Okay, well, you end up finding out that she was stealing money from the guy... Gave some money to her friend, the friend,
yeah, whatever his name
Roselli
is.
Or whatever, the guy Rosenzweig was immediately assuming was the one to stealing the money. So Roselli...
Anthony Roselli, yes.
So Roselli gets a half of the money, and then Alexis, she says that she's taking the other half and going to go get the surgery. This old man says that they have hooked up.
Mm-hmm.
So they're either, she either only like blew him
or
gave him a hand job.
Uh-huh. Let's get to it.
Or that dude loves anal.
Sherman.
Yeah. and Alexis was able to get by hiding whatever she had because he was just all about anal.
Yeah, it does leave a lot of questions.
But then wouldn't... Assume... Because she hasn't had the surgery yet, I'm assuming.
He said... Yeah, they said that she's...
Wouldn't Alexis's...
Penis and
or
balls...
Or balls hit Sherman when Sherman was tapping that ass.
See, that's why, like... when Sherman's swinging in deep.
So, anyways. So think about it. And then when we get there, we
yeah, I'll think about it constantly.
Because right now we're meeting Raphael, the namesake of the episode. And he was just mopping the floor like a lunatic.
Like a weirdo.
In a very, very thick jacket.
I didn't think about the jacket at all.
As someone who lives in New York City, I don't know, like, if you're just in the middle of the floor just mopping away, I don't see anyone wearing a big old jacket like that in the middle of, like, the hallway. Just
you don't see it.
Don't see it. Especially when no one else is wearing anything like that.
This is where we meet. This, right now we're seeing Anthony Roselli, who's just a fucking obnoxious dude.
But Raphael had the tools. We have to talk
about
that.
Yeah, Raphael had the tools. And the only way he could have gotten the tools is if he was in that room somehow.
In that basement somehow. But he keeps saying he didn't find him in the basement. He found him in the stairs or something like that.
So, this guy, what I hate about Anthony Roselli, which he's going into the whole story, met Alexis. Alexis loves him. Gave him, what, like $46,000?
Something like that,
like,
yeah.
Gave him a fuck ton of...
For his pizza review website.
Which, he's like, oh yeah, look at me. Bezos drop Amazon.com, bitch. Which...
Do the guys from Barstool owe this guy some credit? Because isn't that one of the guys' shtick?
Probably. But this guy is acting like, God, my life's over. A trans person gave me money and wants me to be their number one boo. I have the worst luck in the world. I was like, what you've just told me is that someone is so into you, they're giving you a bunch of money for a stupid idea that wasn't theirs, and they're literally changing their genitalia so that they can have sex with you.
Well, no, the changing
well, and
of
to
the...
be, and to be herself. But you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, what was the bad luck? Just that Alexis is a man? Or was a man? Like, that's the reason to be this apoplectic and weird?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, it just depends on how he found out.
That's what he calls it, the real love channel.
Like, if Alexis came straight to him and was like, yo, I'm going through my changes, blah, 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 and, like, gave him a heads up, that's different. But if they're, like, creating a relationship, well, then I don't know, dude. I really don't know.
Well, this has led to...
It's not really my place because it's not my choice because I don't have that struggle, I guess.
Because now that it's 2021 and we've become more accepting of trans folk, now the question is, okay... Well, is a man's quote-unquote straightness affected by whether or not he's attracted to a trans woman? Because, like, I identify as straight. Am I finding a trans woman attractive and want to have a relationship with them? Turns out they were born a man. Maybe they still have male genitalia.
I don't know. Maybe we just got to give you a bunch of different pictures.
All right, anyway, so we were watching...
Of women... And you just go, and we just ask if you find them attractive, and then you answer all of them, and at the end we're like, oh, that one's trans, that one isn't. Well, it looks like it doesn't really matter. What everyone's hung up on is, it's dude, well, I don't know. I don't know from a female perspective, but I'm feeling from a dude perspective, it's the penis thing.
Yeah. I personally
am not. It's the Mac of it all.
I personally, if I found out that someone I'm attracted to immediately has a penis, not really into them because I'm not a fan of penises. I don't really like my own.
Yeah, but if their penis became a vagina and they identified as a woman.
Then, you know, different.
Then what happens, you know?
Then it changes.
I don't know.
Anyway,
Raphael's getting the heat.
He's getting that heat. Now, something we were talking about.
He keeps talking about his mom and his brother coming to visit him.
And, like, we kind of had a little talk beforehand about it seems like these episodes might be dipping a little.
Here comes his sister coming back to visit after again because he had to tell her to go away.
But we were talking about how, like, it seems like it's getting worse. I think it's because, like, we don't get a lot of, like, multi interrogation characters. And then when we do, it's like Raphael, who I don't think is doing a great job. He's like, all right.
Well, I just don't know. So at the end, I mean,
talk about it like we know, like people know.
Okay. So at the end, like, you find out Raphael, like, they end up searching his apartment. They find a hole that leads to the basement.
Pretty but intense,
then,
yeah.
But then, like, fucking, to get to the basement, they have to, like, from what I remember seeing, Andy has to, like, use a crowbar to break something through.
Well, there's, like, a hole in his closet. They rip it. That's just held up by, like, a piece of, like, carpet. Uh-huh. They take that off, and then when they look down, it's completely empty to a, like, piece of wood.
Uh-huh.
And then Sipowicz goes down to the basement and hears Danny, and he just takes off, like, a small plank of wood.
The other one's Staten Island. The other one's Staten Island.
But they said that they were living in Buffalo at one point.
Maybe they moved. I don't know.
When they were kids, maybe.
But she said, don't go back to the island tonight.
No, maybe.
But anyway, so.
Also, ESU did find a separate access to the basement, which is confusing to me.
But then they say something very flippantly, like, ESU didn't see it because when you looked up, there was, like, something put over it, so it didn't look like it was an access or something. Mm-hmm. So what I'm trying to say is, at the end, he gets caught. Raphael admits to it. He has, like, this weird mental break, almost, and then, like, Sipowicz or Sorensen makes some kind of, like, flippant remark of, like, oh, he had some, like, weird mother issues.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, yeah. I didn't get any of that.
I didn't get the mother issues either.
Yeah, so I don't know if that's what led to him killing this girl. Like, he just talks about it being hot down there. He talks about, like, feeling like a man and all this stuff. But, like, I feel like there was something missing with Raphael's, like, whole character, period.
It's also, it seems like he's playing him a little slow. Like, a little bit.
Yeah.
He's playing him sad because his family left. He lost his daughter and his wife. That's why his mom's been bringing him food, because he's not eating. Clearly depressed, whatever. But he mentions
a job, I think.
Yeah, he says he doesn't have a job, and he calls, like, they're like, you have no business in the basement? And he's like, would you go into hell? And then they're like, what? And then he says it was hot as hell, and then they're like, they play off that, like, oh, what, you're going to go to hell, Raphael? And then he, like, admits to getting mind messages from the girl making fun of him because he doesn't have a family. It's very, very weird.
Yeah, it just, like, got weird real quick.
Also, this scene, this is when they're discovering the hole that goes down into the basement. Sipowicz goes to check on where that hole could lead. Did you notice, like, Danny's face when he finally sees him in the ceiling?
No, like, I didn't pay attention to that.
Because it's about to happen right now. Sipowicz, like, takes off the wood. Danny's, like, not making a face. And he's not, like, looking around, really, either. Like, you figure the scene is he's, like, looking around the hole, taking stock of, like, could someone fit through here? He's just, like, has his face through the hole, like, hmm?
Well, see, this is what I'm saying. Okay, so, like, what? Look, Sipowicz has to grab a crowbar
to
knock this access over. How the fuck did that guy do that so fast and get everything back up and not get caught? You know what I'm saying? When this motherfucker left the tools right out next to him. You know what I'm saying? How is he able to clean up all the way but then not realize, like, oh, I shouldn't leave these tools out like that?
Or I shouldn't take the tools because the tools were in the... Now, this is another conversation. The conversation
it's
where...
It's basically the conversation we just had.
Oh, where... Well, this is them going, do we tell him that he's banging a man?
Yeah. Slash, like... But then, like, in the same way, my whole kind of thing is, like, how did he not know?
You know what I mean? How do you not know?
How did he not know? That he's either lying...
You would hear the slapping.
He's either lying... or... He saw, and he's just, like, mad embarrassed, is hoping that's not a point of contention with the, or a point in the investigation.
It's kind of important. Well, it's not really important, but it is kind of, I don't know. I think the old man is lying about how intimate they were. I think he got a couple good handies, maybe a blowski or two, and was like, oh my God, we're in the best relationship. Because he's like, I satisfied her. He's old and dumb enough to be like, yeah, she blew me real good. She felt good about that.
Yeah, but do we, like, that man's old. Do we think that dick works?
I mean, well, what's his name? Came up with the lesson was, Viagra has a lot to account for.
Yeah, true. So, they let
this guy go. What's his name?
The boyfriend.
What was the boyfriend's name?
Alex? No, Alexis.
I can't find it.
I forgot what the boyfriend's name was. Anyways, Raphael's mother's here, Mrs. Vasquez.
Yeah,
Doris, to be... Yeah. Doris, if you're nasty. Kind of very anticlimactic for the boyfriend. They were like up his ass in the beginning, and then it was like, oh, you can go.
You're good.
He's like, I'm out from suspicion. Yep, later.
Louise is his name.
Louise.
Louise.
Louise?
Louise. Louis.
Louise is... isn't that like a lady's name?
It is.
A lady's name?
It can be a lady's name, yeah.
Thelma and Louise.
Something I noticed on like the first watch through talking to the mom... The mom of Raphael and the son, Raphael himself, keep saying the phrase, I don't got nothing to do with basements. Like the modern equivalent is like, I don't fuck with basements.
Raphael don't have to do with basements.
Yeah, like, what? You've never been in a basement? Like, what does that mean? Like, he don't got to do with basements.
His mom also says the phrase... He should have lost his temper with Vicky.
His wife, who left with the Nina.
Yeah, basically saying he should have beat his wife for leaving.
No, that's not what she's saying.
Should have lost his temper?
He should have been more aggressive and assertive is what she's saying, I think. I doubt that she was like, man, my son should have hit his wife more. I doubt that that's the sentiment. But I love that. I love he don't got nothing to do with basements. It's like, you know that your son has never been in one?
Yeah, like, what?
Because they make the joke, like, the whole building's on fire, you don't go down to the basement. He's like, you going to hell?
This is two episodes really close to each other where two weirdos are talking about it being in a warm place and it being hot in the basement.
Because the other was Terrence Howard
and then this guy.
Original War Machine.
Well, he wasn't War Machine in the movie.
He was going to be War Machine.
And then he thought he was bigger than Iron Man. And you ain't shit.
This is also great characterization of just John, because John is handling the super who's freaking out about the tools.
And originally John was like, this unbearable man is here for you, is a part of
this
your case.
This obnoxious man.
Obnoxious man is a part of your case.
And the obnoxious man only wanted to know what happened to his motherfucking tools. And then this is the part of the episode where they get like an extra second. So Sipwitz is like, why don't you just go hang with your sister? And he says, no, I don't want to do that. So then he's like, okay, well then we'll wait a couple minutes, and then tries to get him to talk about his sisters because he's never mentioned them before.
Yeah, ever. Ever, ever.
Because Danny is a... Like, yeah, the last couple episodes of season 6, they're like really trying to hammer home, Danny don't want to talk to you.
Yeah, Danny doesn't want to give you a bits about his personal life.
Are you fast forwarding?
Yeah, yeah. I don't want to.
So now it's not a commentary. We're just
people out on Staten Island. This Danny Sorensen shit is boring, dude.
Oh yeah, but this is also he's moving the.
See, he starts moving shit.
It makes him uncomfortable. When he gets uncomfortable, he's got to move office supply.
When he starts talking about his family and his when he starts talking about people, he moves the stuff.
But the thing that. He also, just like, the way he says, our parents are dead. Just like,
and then he gets up. Anyways, our parents are dead. And then the next word is anyways.
He's a very guarded.
So they basically were like, hey, we're going to wait until we get a call from the Emmy about the rape kit. And then they talk for a couple minutes, and then they go, nah, let's not wait anymore. Let's just go. Let's just pretend we have it.
Because they want to. They got too uncomfortable with each other. Got too real.
Yeah, he said a whole lot there, Danny.
Well, we find out he has two sisters. One, you know, teacher. Others in college. They live with their uncle because their parents are dead. End of convo.
Anyways. Aunt and uncle.
This is Raphael's thinking he's skating because his mom said, yeah, he was all about that soup.
Let's postpone the soup discussion.
Well, it's like, yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's just,
I don't deal with no basements. That's the title of this episode.
I don't deal with no basements?
I don't deal with no basements.
It's better than Raphael's Inferno.
That's what, alternate title, I don't deal with no basements.
I don't deal with no basements. It is, because, and I don't know if you caught this, because after watching this episode twice, does it make it seem like the super asked him to work in the basement, and he's like, that's below me. I'll just kill a girl and then put her body in it. Like, what's the reason he can't go into the basement?
Yeah.
I don't deal with basements, all right?
If she explained about the soup, I'm out of here.
Like,
he is like, he's pinning his whole life on this soup.
The soup's going to save me. The soup is going to save me. When you give him back his tools, tell him to go to hell, even though I stole them. Yeah, he's such a... See, because, like, they bring it up like you don't
even
work in a...
Even if I'm unemployed and can't get a job, I don't work in no basement.
What's wrong with a basement? What happened in a basement?
But he doesn't work in the basement. He's the super, so he works in the whole building. He probably just has all of his stuff in the basement.
Well, he's not the...
other guy, yeah. Franklin. He's giving Franklin a hard time for being a super in the basement. And he's basically saying, like, oh, I don't work in the basement. But it's like, dude doesn't work in the basement. His shit's in the basement. He works in the whole building. He works on the whole building.
Just his shit is in the basement. Oh, goodness.
Yeah, and then this is where all the weird shit you're talking about, him, like... Talking about, like, he goes, they start talking about, like, a different tenant living in the apartment.
Previous
and he, yeah, like, and then he's like, yeah, maybe she was this. Like, he starts getting real weird with it. And he ate her soup instead.
It is weird that he's like, maybe the previous tenant got a mind message.
I eat my soup, but it ain't in no basement. That's what the title of this episode is.
That's the whole title?
I eat my soup, but not in the basement. That's what I'll call it.
Okay. And here comes Big Dick Sherman. Well,
Sherman Tank, baby. That's what his name. Sherman Tank Rosenzweig.
Sherman got that drip. Sherman's the
just don't tell me she's dead. Nope, she ain't dead, brother.
She is just penis owning.
Alex is dead.
But yeah, like, it's so weird because he's an old man. And you don't want to crush his soul. But you gotta think if it was a different guy who was, like, a kind of an asshole and not old, they would just tell him, yo.
But do you think if you told this man that he was doing shit with another man, that he wouldn't have a heart attack and die?
You think he would just immediately have a heart attack?
I don't know if he could take it.
I want to know where he met Alexis. Where does Sherman go to get young vagina? Where is Sherman going?
She's
to
a scammer. I mean, she could have done anything.
It's also, they say earlier, I found a photo of Anthony Roselli and another man in her wallet.
Foreshadowing.
And then Anthony's like, that's Alexis. It doesn't look close enough for anyone, for him to go like, huh, that does kind of look like.
Oh, true.
Like, it doesn't even.
Like, he didn't notice it? Like, yeah, he's Sherman. Seen the picture, too. No, that's true. That's very true.
Like, not even, like, is this your brother? Like, is this a family relative? Because it looks a little bit like you, except without boobs.
Yeah.
And the hair.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think he's a little. I think he was a little delusional. He just didn't want to believe it.
I think so too. I think it was just old man. No any type of like interaction with someone other than like treating him as an old man, and so you know she probably like touched his arm and shit, and no one touches him anymore.
You touch the arm, and then you're
ready.
See,
Raphael had mother problems. It started a feeling like we were Norman Bates. What?
I think that was all just a setup to make this Norman Bates joke, because Danny doesn't know who Norman Bates is.
I knew who Norman Bates was.
Everyone knows
who Norman Bates is.
Not Danny, though. He's too busy being in the service and taking care of his daughters and not talking about it.
His sisters. He doesn't have daughters, dude.
Did I say daughters?
Yeah.
Well, he almost had one. Foreshadowing.
But then they sucked that shit out with a Hoover.
That's not what happened. Jesus Christ, Kyle.
They get pretty adept with some of these issues.
And then... Here's another line that I'd be like, okay, bitch, ready. Jill comes in, and Russell and Jill are doing late nights, right? Jill goes, I went with the chicken and pasta again for dinner tonight. Oh, third day's lucky. Okay, bitch, don't eat it. I think Jill got the food.
But like, is Jill one of those people that is like, I'm doing this, so we all have to do it? You know what I'm saying?
She makes the decision and everyone else.
Yeah, it's like, hey, I'm going to bring in one of these three dishes in. What do you want? Instead of like, you know what I mean? Because if, like, Diane never gets a chance to choose what's for dinner, it's always just something that Jill's doing. I'd get annoyed, too. Dolores Mayo's dad shows up. Remember Dolores?
Yeah, this fucking we couldn't get Jeff Goldblum motherfucker.
I mean, I will say this. He does look like...
He does.
He could have spawned Dolores, for sure.
The face does match
I
up.
Feel like... do you remember Frasier?
The television show?
I forget what his ex-wife was. The actress, or what her name was. But I feel like if you Google her, if he and her fucked, then it would be Dolores.
Well, that's good to know. Because you don't even know the person we're talking about.
No.
But...
It's his ex-wife. I forget his ex-wife's name.
I don't know anything about Frasier.
Something like France or something. Anyways.
But here's where we find out that Mr. Mayo has been
a shitty father.
He's been estranged from Dolores for quite some time.
He's like, I got forwarded a Christmas card that says she worked here. And then they were like, this past Christmas? Like, oh no, maybe like 6 years ago. He's a shit dad, dude. And then he's, like, all mad that she's dead and like, wants answers. It's like, what? Like, now you want answers?
Yeah, you weren't even paying attention. This wasn't what I planned. It's like, oh, you planned on waiting a year and a half and then she'd just be here?
No one plans on murder. Well, some do.
That's an alternative title for this, too. No one plans on murder.
No one plans on murder.
But, yeah, it's so weird that he was, like, he also just casually admits that he took advantage of her when she was a child. Because he says, I haven't seen her since she's been, like, 13, but said, I took advantage of her.
Yeah. And he asks a really weird question. Was anyone else involved?
Like, wondering, do you just expect her to live that life of sadness?
Yeah.
But he also, you know what? He believes in God. I don't question God's plan.
Yeah. Are you getting looking down on me? That's what he said, something like that.
I don't question Drake. Yeah, it was such a weird...
Dang, I was trying to think of something like with Hotline Bling.
And you couldn't do it?
Couldn't do it.
Every time I see him, I just
no one gives a fuck about Drake.
Every time I see Mr. Mayo, I just think, like, man, they would have rather Jeff Goldblum. Like, Jeff Goldblum, that guy is clearly the, hey, I know Jeff Goldblum said no, can I do it? And now we're at the end of the episode?
Yeah, now he's putting his sister on a fucking, in a cab after he bought her a watch because she got robbed because he made her go about the city by herself.
He didn't make her go about the city. She wanted to go on the subway because he even offered Mike, who just brought her ass here. Yeah. He's like, Mike will take you wherever you want to go.
Yeah, this guy I'm not paying, he'll just, like, tax you around and I'll just be a total douche to him.
This guy wants to fuck you and I'm not going to put in a good word, even though he does at the end of this episode.
Yeah, but he says, if Mike calls you, he's not such a bad guy, blah, blah, blah. And then I already know this in one of the next two episodes. Mike's like, oh, what's up with your sister? And Danny basically is like, go fuck yourself, and like walks away. Like, Danny doesn't want to give him the number.
Danny's like,
So Danny's still being a little bitch, dude. Well, Danny foreshadowing is going to go raw dog Nate Dean, whatever, and like not even give a fuck about what's going on in her life. So.
Just a little foreshadowing.
Just a little double stand.
There's a reason that him and Nadine had unprotective sex. They talk about it in the episode.
Yeah, you can't trust that shit, though. You still got it, like...
You don't trust women, Kyle? Is that what you're saying?
No.
You don't listen to women?
No. I don't listen to women.
But also, like... Because this is where we see people are trying to break through to Danny. His own sister is like, why don't you just hop on the ferry and don't worry about your job tomorrow and come hang out with the family? And he's like, yeah, can't do that. And she's like, you can't be so lonesome. And he's like, I'm not lonely. I'm fucking busy. Now, how about you get the fuck out of here?
Yeah. I definitely will come by. Not.
Don't be so lonesome. Now, we're not at the ending yet, are we? No.
Pretty much. He's about to put her in a cab and make her go up a certain road because...
If they speak English.
Yeah. Did Shannon take a South Ferry down to the ferry?
Okay, now that was clearly very loud, and you shouted right into it. See, the thing I was going to say is, I've tried to keep the mic somewhat at the same distance, and you've just been throwing that thing all over the joint.
Well, if you would have let me take it out of this 15-pound stand, then maybe I would have. But my chest is starting to cave in, so I had to take it off for a second.
It's not that heavy.
Apologies.
It's not that heavy.
Would have been easier just to hold it like this without this fucking 15-pound tail coming off the end of it.
This is where we see...
Oh, this is when he's about to, like, put his dick inside her and then gets, like, really mad. All because Sheila's like, tell me about your life.
And he's like, fuck you.
I was like, I'm about to dick you down. I'm not here about to talk about my feelings.
It's so true, because that was my first thought, is like, it's like, oh, clearly they've fucked, you know, they've had some sexual contact, and then he's like, oh, I'm opening up about my life. We don't know dick about her, by the way. We've never heard her talk about herself once.
No.
They've been in bed together like three times, maybe.
But yet he acts like all she does is talk about herself. And like, it's just like naggy. Like every time they're together, it's like, she's the one who's like more into it than he is, but he's the one always fucking not like talking, but not saying anything.
And this one, he's like, yeah, my daughters, my sisters, they kept me from a life of crime. Cause you know what happened, but they kept me grounded. And then he's like, okay, let's get to some more fucking grab each other's genitals and whatnot. And she's like,
what's that? She's like, me pushing my luck.
Yeah. And then she goes, well, what happened?
Yeah.
And then he's like, you know what? No dick for you. You just earned a night without any more dick.
Yeah.
By asking me what happened in my life. When you said all that went on, and he's like, nope, no more, Nadine.
Do you think right there, his dick went soft?
That quickly?
Yeah.
Well.
Because he hopped off that real quick.
I don't think it was that fast.
Because he basically makes a movement and gets on top of her, and I think he's, like, literally in. And then he just is, like, all of a sudden just, like... <He's>
You think he's literally in.
And then that's how it ends.
That's how it ends.
Him just getting super upset about it.
Super dupe upset.
I don't know. We fucked about 4 or 5 times. I just want to get to know you a little bit.
As we are in the ending of this episode, even though you skipped like 2 or 3 minutes just in the middle, you're like, fuck it.
I didn't want to hear him talk about his goddamn family again.
We're not hearing about it because it's on mute.
I just watched it yesterday too, or today.
Anything else about that episode as we wrap up?
No, not really.
Raphael wasn't great. Should have been called I Got Nothing to Do with Basements.
I feel like the emphasis on the story was supposed to be like learning about Danny, but I don't really feel like you learned much about the dude.
All right. I was just looking if there's anything I wrote that I was like, I definitely want to talk about that, and I don't think so. I just wrote in quotes, all that went on equals boner killer.
100%.
All right. I mean, we didn't talk about it, but the weird conversation between Medavoy and Martinez was like very strange, where it's just like, how can a man have sex with a transgender person, not know? And is it within our rights to tell him?
Well, I mean, if he was, I have the same question. Like, how do you not know? I'm not saying it's like right or wrong or like it needs to be answered.
Just how does it happen?
Or like I deserve an answer, but it's just like, how does it happen? Like, how do you not know? Like, you're just not paying attention? Like, how do you not know?
So let me ask you this question, and we'll probably cut this out. How you're holding it right now with just your hands on the thing that accepts the sound. How do you think that's going to go?
Better.
And you think if you didn't have the stand, it would be better if you were just holding it in your hand?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
All right. We'll be testing that out next episode. All right. Later, everybody. Thank you again for listening to this episode of NYPD Blue Balls. We are on Instagram at Asher Brothers Podcast. We're on Twitter at Asher Bros Pod, mostly mentioning when new episodes come out. The entire show NYPD Blue is on Hulu currently, but make sure you do a little research. Some of those episodes are syndication edits, and the full version of the episode needs to be found elsewhere. If you need more NYPD Blue info in your life, there's a couple of books out there. What Would Sipowicz Do? A collection of articles about the show. Gene Kendall's An Unofficial Guide to NYPD Blue. And of course, True Blue, written about the first couple seasons from creators and consultants. The next couple episodes of NYPD Blue Balls are going to be just like this one. Commentary of the episode that they're on, and in the next one Kyle doesn't skip a random minute and 30 seconds just because he doesn't like it. So I hope you dig those. I hope I'll catch you on the other one. I hope you're having a great new year, and I hope you keep watching NYPD Blue with us, or just by yourself and don't listen to us. Just keep watching the show. But if you do have a moment, please rate and review the show on whatever platform you're using to listen to it. It's how people see it in the algorithms. Peace.